हरिः
ॐ
सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Upanayanam, Nyaya Sutras, page 33, Sutra 1-1, 11-14. Body is the locus or substratum, ashraya, of action, cheshta. What I mean, because the body is what's, means you're going to perform an action, but that action is performed with the body. So here is that, this gives the thing, it's the substrata, or the ashraya, right? So then you get the aspect, oh, without money you can't do anything. You know, that's the substrata. The actual action is the main thing. And having the money, you know, or doing the work, it's the substrata. So you do have a thing, but people, due to their own position, will try to make their thing more. Like Vaishya, without money nothing works, so Vaishya should be the top. They make the money, everything requires money, so they should have a say in everything. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So each one will take their position, but that's why then you have to take the Shastra. Shastra gives what's the hierarchy, which is most important. Like that. So, yeah. Senses, indriya, pleasure and suffering, artha. Nose, tongue, eye, skin, and ear are the senses produced from elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the elements. Smell, taste, form, touch, and sound are objects of the senses and qualities of the earth. Etc. Footnote 14. Sutras 1-1, 15-22 describe the characteristics of the remaining pramayas. Okay. Yeah, so this then is giving that you've gotten the, what was it?
Body elements.
Yeah, the body and everything connected with it. So in other words, the you have the Mahabhutas, well, it's just before this. Okay, then you have the soul, okay, and the position there, then you're going to have the body in action, right? And that's the body, and the body means it's going to have the five elements. Then you're going to have the five senses, the five working senses, and then you're going to have tanmakas, the objects of the senses, like that. So those 20 are basically going to be the substrata of effort, right? So you have the souls trying to attain something, the effort is put in with these 20. Yeah. Next, the author describes the third padartha called Shamshaya. Regarding this padartha, Vatsyayana Rishi comments as follows in Nyaya Bhashya 111. Nyaya has no relevance, pravartate, for unknown objects, nor for those known for certain. What then is logic's relevance? It has relevance only for those objects about which there is a doubt. In other words, those that are partially known. The Shamshaya forms an integral component in the study of Nyaya. Right? So is that something that you already know fully, what's the doubt? What's the to use logic on?
What's the game? What's the game?
Yeah, what's the game? And something you have no connection with at all and no samskar for, you can use all the logic you want, it still won't mean anything.
No interest. No interest.
No interest, or just no concept, nothing to relate to. You know, it's just there's nothing common with you. You know, so that's the thing. Anything fully known or something completely unknown, there's no relation. So it has to be something that is in between. So that, therefore, without doubt, then how do you have logic? So logic means there is a doubt, but the doubt has to be based on progressiveness. You want to know so you can move forward in self-realization. But if it's just a doubt just to, you know, not allow anything to progress, that's just a mode of ignorance. That doubt is not being logical. That doubt's not being intelligent. You're trying to put a stop to logic and development. Does that make sense? So that will come into either you're afraid, and so therefore then you use that, what is it? You had Vada, Jalpa, and what's the last one? Vitanda. Okay. That you, out of fear, you know, you're fighting because you don't want to go in that direction. You're like, people don't want to hear about God or don't want to hear about the, you know, what they should actually do or what's the real thing. You know, that, you know, how do you say, you know, your how do you say, imaginary friend is not actually real. And, you know, you're 27 years old, you should go out and get a job, and it doesn't matter what your friend says. You know? Or it's out of desire, you know, attachment, that you want something, therefore you just will defeat what they have because they're going against what you want. You can't establish what you want, you just want to defeat. Right? So you're going to get that aspect. Is that, but here is Shamshaya, doubt is a component of Nyaya, because then it makes you analyze, well, what is it? What's the actual? Who am I? Like Sanatana Goswami, who am I? People say I'm a great scholar and, you know, this and that, but I don't actually know who I am. And, you know, so the doubt then can start the process.
So therefore Prabhupada says doubt's a sign of intelligence.
Yes, yes, sign of intelligence. As long as it's for engaging the intelligence and in a progressive way. But even if it's not, that they can come up with doubts generally means they have some intelligence. Whether they're properly using their intelligence, that's another thing. Yes?
Because the function of intelligence is also discriminating. So when you're doubting, means you're able to discriminate. If there is no ability to discriminate,
where the doubt comes. Yeah. Yeah, because if it's just a feeling, because I mentioned before, a lot of times people just argue on feeling. They don't actually, can't even articulate the doubt. They don't even know what the doubt is.
It doesn't feel right. They just don't like it. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, or, you know, like that. But another party might be able to tell what it is. You know? But they can't tell, then unfortunately sometimes the person argues because they don't know the other person doesn't know. But the third party, oh, that's him. He always goes on about that. You know?
Many people, they make their living just by articulating people's unclear ideas about things. So they're just very good picking up and explaining to them what they actually eat.
Well, that's right. It's an occupation.
That's called a psychology.
Psychologist.
He'll never propose any solution.
Yeah.
He just rental.
Huh?
It's intelligence rental.
Intelligence rental. Yeah.
Yeah. You can say lawyers also, to some extent, they actually, because
yeah.
It's not just, but you don't know how to present it, so they'll tell you
how to present it.
Those might be real lawyers, but practicing lawyers, if they say all those, then whether you'll give them money or if they say everything clearly, then.
Yeah, whether you want to actually hear them or hire someone else.
So it's like a progressive removal of uncertainty. That is
a progressive removal of uncertainty.
That's what's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. You should put that in. It's a footnote. I steal it by part of the bunker.
because I was listening yesterday something that when this happens actually, when you remove the uncertainty and you gain good feeling, but they always go into this material things. They say it just removes dopamine in the brain. That's what it is. When you're able to navigate properly in the reality, then you attain your goal. But this is just remove some dopamine in the brain if you will. So they start very nicely, you know, and you think, well, they will actually move to a goal, but no, they, okay, you want to attain the goal, and the goal is set, and the rules how to attain are explained beforehand by somebody, by God, but then they will have to go to it. Just chemicals in the brain, and you're so frustrating, you know.
Well, they got close. The same letters, just maybe a slightly different order. God, dog. Prabhupada always uses God and dog because it's just, you spell God backwards, you get dog. So the, Augie is a dog also. There's no T. Well, that's Odie. But there's no G. Okay. Sutra 1.1.23. Doubt, shamshaya, which is a conflicting judgment, vimarsha, about the precise character of an object, vishesha peksha, arises from the perception of properties common to many objects. Samana dharma upapatti, or of properties not common to any of the objects. Aneka dharma upapatti, from contradictory assertions. Viprati pati, and from irregularity of perception. Upalabdhi of vyavasta, and non-perception. Anupalabdhi anupalabdhya vyavasta. So just giving different ways that you can doubt comes up. You know, that means it's going to be a conflicting judgment on the character of an object. So that can come from properties, meaning it's common with others. Ones that it's not common with, then contradictory things or irregularity. You don't see properly, or you don't see at all. You know, or it can be it's not there. You know, like Prabhupada, there was that one doubt, you know, says that the devotee came in, and I think he was in charge of, I think it may have been the president in Vrindavan, and then or someone managing, and Prabhupada, he called the person, you know, and he was sitting there, and then he said, "Did you hear that?" He said, no, Prabhupada, nothing. No, did he hear it? Did he hear? You know, no, nothing happened. So he said, "Says you sure?" "Yeah, no, nothing. There was no sound." Prabhupada said, "Exactly." Says the bell's supposed to be ringing now. Why isn't the bell ringing? You know, because you know it's like every hour on the hour you would there ring the bell, so that one, you know the guards are awake, and two, it just you know the time and night. You don't have to all these things. So you know many things, and then because it makes noise, and also people know people are up, so others don't come to your place. You know, there's so many things. Or, yeah, but that was probably used the non-perception. So did you hear that? No, that's the problem. Okay, footnote 15. Vachyayana details that doubt is of five kinds. One, recognition of common properties. Example, seeing in the twilight a tall object, we cannot decide whether it is a man or a post, for the property of tallness belongs to both. Two, recognition of properties that are not common. Example, hearing a sound, one questions whether it's eternal or not, or the property of soundness does not belong to a gross object perceived by us, or to the soul, which is eternal. Right? So you hear sound, it doesn't connect to the soul or to what's eternal. So it's not necessarily the sound means that. Because tallness could mean a man or a post. Right? But here is that sound to spiritual sound is not, you can't compare the material sound. And so then, yeah. Three.
The second thing is when you're doubting whether it's the mind or the paramatma. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was a very popular one. So explain this. Please first look at it, what you heard, is it intelligent? Mm-hmm. You know, is it logical? Is it according to duty, according to Shastra, that it's logical? Because the Prabhupada says, I think the intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. It's also the closest thing to the soul. So if it's just a feeling, then there's a good chance it's not super soul. So it's going to come through intelligence.
Maharaj, I was saying by Jagratik Mahatma, she came from the Swami Prayer. She said if we listen some voice inside which tells us something, it's not Paramatma, because Paramatma associates only with liberated soul. And if you're a conditional soul, you can listen only your Atma inside. I'm a little bit confused because sometimes, for example, you can listen that how many books we will distribute or something like that, if exactly what happened. Does it mean Atma knows what will happen or what will happen?
No, it's just means the intelligence, because you do certain things and like that. It doesn't mean Krishna is not involved in the process. You know, he's always trying to tell you through your consciousness and that. But most of the time, the conversation in your head that goes on, that's between the intelligence and the mind. How much of that has to do with anything spiritual, that's another thing. You know, so the inner dialogue, they generally take it as it's one thing. The dialogue may be one thing, but it's two parties, the mind and the intelligence. Because one is saying the logical things, what could be done, you know, or what is recommended to do. The mind is saying what it wants to do, or what it feels like doing, or what it would like to, you know, these kind of things. You know, should I go to the temple? What's that? It's the feeling is that I don't want to go to the temple. What's it based on? I just don't feel like going. You know? Does that make sense? The intelligence says no, then you go to Mangalarti, then, you know, you see the Lord, you get purified, remember the Lord, you know, advance like this, or but if you go to the temple, then people will see you there, then your social position will stay better, people won't harass you so much, because they never see you, hey, we're going to see you, you know, like that. And so looking at it from a social point of view, or if I go to the temple, you know, then that guy will be there and I need to talk to him, because otherwise other times he's not around, and so it'll make it much easier for my work to do, you know, but then, you know, oh, why today, we could do it tomorrow. Like that, but you know, I heard he's leaving soon, so we don't know when. Maybe you know, it's like this. It goes back and forth, you know. Or if I go to the temple, then you know, I can get some maha, you know. So you know, maybe there's different levels that the intelligence can offer solutions from, and then the mind chooses whichever, you know, one or combination is preferred. Yes.
Okay, but for example, in such a case, before the pandemic, I wanted to buy a ticket to the
event. A ticket to?
To the flight.
You wanted to buy a ticket?
Yes, to go home from Angola. And I heard a voice, don't buy it because you will lose all money. But I bought and I lost because pandemic started and all flights were canceled.
But that doesn't mean that it's not coming through intelligence. It's not necessarily Paramatma's directly speaking. You may be using intelligence, because if flights are being canceled and people aren't getting their money back, then it's intelligent that says possible you won't get your money back if you buy a ticket. It doesn't mean Paramatma's not trying to. He's always trying to tell you stuff to do. But the point is it's according to our interest. You know what I'm saying? Like the dog. Dog likes to bark at things. So Krishna says, go stand over there. Because standing here, you know, the fence is there. But if he stands over there, then he can see the cat walk by. He has something to bark at. He's a dog. You know? Or he's too tired. He doesn't want to run around. Or he doesn't want to, like that. You know, so therefore he doesn't want to end up with scratches on the end of his nose. He's already done that. So then Paramatma, no, sit here. Because if you go over there, you see the cat. Because you're a dog. Then you'll go running after the cat. And when you catch the cat will scratch your nose. And then you'll feel bad. So just sit here. You know, ignorance is bliss. So it doesn't matter on the thing is it's just, it means, in other words, we use our intelligence the best we can to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Three, contradictory assertions. Example, merely by study one cannot decide whether the soul exists, for one system of philosophy affirms that it does, while another system states that it does not. Right, so then you have two different approach, so then you get that. So this a lot of times catch people. They have a doubt, but the doubt is based on this. But then the question is do they want to, what was that, progressive
removal of uncertainty.
A progressive removal of
uncertainty.
Do they want the uncertainty to go? Because if this certain uncertainty goes, that means you're certain, and then if you're certain, it means you have to do something. So now the proper, you know, certainty should be engaged nicely in devotional service, right? But, or if the certainty is, you know, just be engaged in the mundane things, then that's not going to look good on your resume, right? So then, but if you have a doubt about the spiritual, then if you're engaged in the material because you know the other hasn't cleared itself, then no one will complain. No one will say you're a materialist. It's just, you know, you're being logical.
We maintain our uncertainty so we can justify our desires.
Yeah. Because otherwise, the Bhagavatam very clearly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Badrinarayan Goswami Maharaj said once in one lecture that Prabhupada told him that intelligence is the ability to reconcile the apparent contradictions.
Okay, so then in this case, if you're going forward to reconcile, that's intelligent, but if you're not, then that's the mind, that's sensitive. Is that what you were?
Yes.
Yeah, because Badrinarayan Maharaj is famous for not being sentimental. You know, he's very straightforward and down to earth. And all. Okay. Then four, irregularity of perception. Example, we perceive water in a tank where it actually exists, but water is also perceived to exist in a mirage where it actually does not exist. The question arises whether a perception of water occurs only when it actually exists or also when it does not exist. Or does that mean there is management, but does management exist where there actually isn't management? And we consider that it is. Five, irregularity of non-perception. Example, we do not perceive water in the radish where it actually exists, or on dry land where it does not exist.
Perceiving is not perceiving.
Oh, we do not perceive that. Question arises whether the non-perception of water occurs only when it does not exist or also when it does exist.
Where did the radish come from?
Is this Sahotamar?
No, this is Vatsyayana Rishi.
Vatsyayana, he mentions radish. Okay, because the radish, yeah, that's true. Radishes, they're fresh, they're very juicy inside, but outside they look really dry. The skin is very dry. So, okay, that's okay. Where it actually exists, or in dry land, where it does not exist. But the non-perception one occurs only when it does not exist, or also when it does exist. So non-perception can happen whether... So you can see how fine they take it. We just say a doubt means I don't understand it, or it doesn't make sense, or I don't like it. You know. But here he gives five very nice subdivisions. Udriki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura addresses the root cause of conflicting judgment in Tattva Viveka as follows. When you say the true yukta answer, you imply that you honor logic, yukti, as the way to know the truth. Okay, so logic is the yukti, and by what you get truth, yukta.
True answer.
True answer is yukta, means what you're trying to get to. And then you follow the process of logic, yukti. So when we say yukta vairagya, that means it has to be true. It has to be in line with truth. It can't be just whatever you feel like.
Real vairagya.
Yeah, it's real vairagya, and it's also vairagya in the context of the actual truth, the absolute. Okay.
So it's not yukta for my personal sense enjoyment, it's yukta for the Lord.
Yes.
Also, Maharaj, yukti is actually more related to wisdom.
Wisdom, okay.
Here it's said about logic, because logic can have the aspect of what you say, just speculating. But yukti is more like wisdom.
But it should be used to bring you to that. In other words, vada is the only right application of logic. Okay. Why then do you not accept the great variety of answers that logic brings? To this protest I reply, spiritual logic does not depend on the material logic that brings a variety of answers. Therefore, when I use the words of logic, yukti, and truth, yukta, I refer to the logic and truth accepted by liberated souls purified of matter's touch. Logic and truth that are properly distinguished between matter and spirit. Logic that is material, that takes shelter of matter, will always lead to a great variety of conclusions. A liberated soul situated in its original spiritual form can give the true, genuine, logical answer. Yeah, because he always makes the point that in the spiritual realm, there's only one perspective. Different taste, but one perspective. In the material world, because of the material logic, then you get a whole plethora of varieties. So, all, you know, within karma and jnana. He further elaborates on skepticism in text 16. Blinded by illusion, some philosophers devoted to the tricks of logic say, quote, whatever is said to be true will one day be learned to be untrue. Therefore, truth is always temporary and relative. Text 16. So that we see is used by, you know, it means your modern academic field.
That is the Paribhasha Sutra of the modern science.
Ooh. So we're going with Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, and they're going with whatever is said to be true will one day be learned to be untrue. Therefore, truth is always temporary. True. We should put that in the beginning of
the
book. Yeah. Goswami then, you know, as mentioned, in, you know, from, you know, the progression of this, and then the other says that this, and so therefore, because that becomes the part of Asha Sutra 4, you know, what we were saying before about, you know, seeing, what do you call it?
Prabhupada tradition.
Yeah, Prabhupada through tradition and tradition through Prabhupada. So it sounds, you know, it sounds poetic, but at the same time, it's based on this sutra, that it's relative. So therefore, the time has changed, therefore the need for the instructions that Prabhupada gives is also has to change, therefore we can change Prabhupada's instructions to match the time.
Alright, when we do this course, then finish also the Mimamsa Sutras, and then, you know, the introduction, the first part of Vedanta Sutra, then everything will be solidified, because we brought all those things together and analyzed fully, then we can make write our own comment.
Then we can write.
So right now I am like,
he's, what do you call it? The distinguish what he say, but he. I refer to the logic and truth accepted by liberated souls, purified by matter's touch, logic, and truth that properly distinguish between matter and spirit. So therefore, that logic that is based on Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, rather than, you know, the distinction, then matter meaning it's all relative.
Also that,
so does that mean that they gave up on Einstein because he wasn't relative enough? He was dealing with an absolute relative.
Yeah, what about this statement itself?
Also, we should structure and make a full proper book on the philosophy and psychology of education based on the whole thing, then step by step and everything.
Because when you're starting from this and going up, then you can go. It just dissipates.
That's the goal, actually. After we do this, after we come at least, I think first two parts of Vedanta Sutra are sufficient to have the whole perspective. Next we'll go into deeper. Then we can put a book together and edit.
Because by this, you can never actually have a real educational system. It's always changing. So whatever they say today, tomorrow it'll be something else. So you can't say that the person is actually wrong. Because you can't say he's right, but you can't say he's wrong either, because it keeps changing. So it's only from the absolute platform, then you can say if it's right or wrong. Because does it help you attain the absolute? You can say it's right, it keeps you confused, or it's wrong because it doesn't make you confused, or it's wrong because it doesn't allow for speculation that will make you confused. Like that, so you know, up from the modern, but the actual, because then it's in line with their Paribhasha Sutra.
Because that was the difficulty, Maharaj, like, even the works which we put together on, about education, it also has the same structure as the modern academicians, they put the heading and then everything in the side is like, completely separated. There is no, you know, one thing that is flowing. It's like completely taking you, as what you said about removing the uncertainty.
A step by step. What do you call it? Progression of removal.
Progressive removal of uncertainty. That is not done.
Have you written that down?
Yeah, I wrote it down after Sudra Maharaj's comment. Wrote it down.
And, you know, he said, Sahaja Maharaj's comments here. A senior disciple of Sahaja Maharaj's interjects at this point, or gives a, you know, a commentary.
Just like what
or illuminates the point that he made.
What Sahaja Rishi commenting out to Gautam? So that's the weakness. Even like when we had the whole course and when you take it, it's not like
that. It's not one point. Because that's the thing also written by the Gita, it's one point of determination.
So and it should flow like this.
That's nice. Because we were trying to take it up, and you have to bring it down.
Krishna the Bhagavan's Swayam is there, then from the Vedantic perspective, how it
manifests through the different elements of the mind, the intelligence, the sense of all these things.
And then Mimamsa has its own place within it, and when you need to speak about rules of understanding it or analyzing.
Because it has to be established already, Mimamsa. You don't need to prove it.
We don't need to prove it, and then it has its natural place. Once you start with the philosophy, like explain what is the core point, then how to see everything else in light of that. That's where Mimamsa then comes into the picture. So then,
how you go about doing that.
Yes. Okay. So, but problem is we start in explaining. Then we have always started like, you know, Prabhupada said this, how to see this, you know, and put it together and see, make a sense out of it. That will never bring us to
Yeah, because we'll end up with some of those contradictory.
Yes, and then knowing this context, you said this, that context, you said that, and then maybe then we should use our intelligence to apply the maturity to.
Well, Bhakti Shurmarsh, he commented on that process about using the intelligence. He mentioned this. He mentioned it in, you know, in Bengali. He said it was paka buti.
Buti
means intelligent. Buti.
Buti. Yes. Buti. Yes.
But point paka buti. Point means your bum.
Yes.
So a ripened bum intelligence. So he was not impressed with these speculative things, especially when it came to Prabhupada. Very strong.
So even the current, like, you know, most of the things, the starting is like that. You put, okay, we have our information, and people have their information and how to.
Yeah, because you're trying
to please everybody.
Instead of starting from what's the original and then coming down there. Because then only you can see if there is some comments that somebody's making that actually is a value. How does it support understanding Krishna?
It always starts and ends with pure philosophy in between them. The Udaharana is where they get their place. All the modern context of education, this is that. Udaharana and then Upanayana and then doubts, dealing with the doubts.
Yeah. And then that becomes removed and you see it has to be in context.
But if it starts a definition, the thesis point, we include half of us, half of this, and we are already gone.
Yeah.
That's why always, it's never digestible.
Because the beginning actually establishes the known, and then the anomalies are described later as deviations. But if you start with deviations, then this remains as the standard, and then if you even if you refute it later on, it still has its position. You start with it. It's different.
Generally, I go by my instinct. When you read something, if the head starts to read, then
close
it closes the book, and then I know it's not digestible anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, when you can't focus anymore, then that's time.
That's one thing is, like, you know, the complexity of language and all, it's little. So, but that when my head starts to reel, when I don't understand things, means it doesn't make sense. So,
yeah.
Most of the time, the language is like very sophisticated and all. I can read Brahma Samhita, but I can still go through it. You may not understand the complexity of language, but it's straightforward. You know?
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
The other one is it's complex and makes no sense.
What's interesting is the last sentence that you just reread was about, but did it say the proper understanding of spirit and matter or something like that?
Logic and truth that properly distinguishes between matter and spirits.
Right, so that's samana, the relationship that distinguishes, and then so that brings us back to our part of Ashutra, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're eternal servants of. So since that's our basis, we can work with that. Whereas the others, they don't have a basis. So if you don't have the proper understanding of the relationship of what you're dealing with, you can't get a good result.
Yeah.
Just like with cooking, you don't understand what the utensils are, what the ingredients are, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to make
it. You won't be able to cook. And if you think you're the pot,
there's that as well.
There's kind of.
So the knowledge of the relationship has to be there, otherwise you can't even move forward a little.
Yeah. Yeah, so unless the identity is there, unless you start with I'm servant of Krishna, then only you can analyze. So how is this assisting my being servant of Krishna?
Yes.
That's a very direct way of dealing with so many of these things. Maybe, how do you call it? Acropolean ideas. Just, well, how does it help? What does it do? What's the relationship? You had something?
Yes, I wanted to say that it was this point in Western philosophy was that our relations was studied by the
Body?
Heraclitus.
Okay.
The Greek.
Okay.
In the time of Ionians, when they died,
okay, so
what was the source of everything, and they considered that one of five elements is the source.
So with five?
Yes, five? Yes.
He said five.
No, no, they tried to, tried to understand which element is the pre-substance. Mm. And the vision was only the
okay, but that's one of the first things that we come down is how from, you know, this ether from ether then air. That's just in that one explanation we've already solved their their lifetimes of discussion.
But then Pythagoras was clever, because he thought that it's the number is the origin. So he went from the gross to the simple level. Numbers.
Well, you do have that thing. It says it does mention about how one, you know, one wants to be in that number.
No?
Yeah. So it does have a subtle element, you know, if you're wanting to, So Ionians again. So it goes back to them. So they're the one that everything's going to change and. Because everything's relative, so it's Ionian. And that'll be basically the basis of modern philosophy. No?
I think this purport, and actually from the next verses, he start explaining how each of the philosophy...
Oh, okay. Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Yeah, but as other purports we didn't put. This is just, first objectively he describes them, then he goes into subjectively each and every philosophy, what are the divergences.
And then on this point of whatever is said to be true will one day be learned to be untrue. So my guru made this observation, he brings this up all the time, is that the scientists, the way they present it is, we used to think this, but now we know this.
Yeah. Isn't it so wild? And they still use it the same words.
So it's funny, because if they were truly scientific, they would realize that what they used to know clearly was not actually knowledge, it was a thought.
Yeah.
So he says... So if they were honest, they would say, well, we used to know this, but now we think this. It'd be a little bit more honest. Because if you see that every time you come up with something that's conclusive, and then several years later it turns out to be inconclusive, then you should see just by the pattern that this current thing that I have now, also inconclusive, but it makes the most sense currently. So we're accepting this as the most likely truth. But, so if they presented it like that, then okay, sure. But to say, no, this is it. No, this is definitely it. What we thought back then, no, that was completely wrong.
Yeah, that would be better, like you said, we used to think like this, and now we're tending to think like this.
But right, actually,
we don't know,
Right.
We never did.
We never,
don't, never,
admit
never will.
No.
And the devotee shared before. In this book, though, he mentioned that a true skeptic should doubt even his skepticism.
Yeah, because even here is that it says one day will be proved untrue. So that means that there's whatever is said to be true will one day learn to be untrue. Therefore, truth is always temporary and relative. But then it could be that one day this is proven to be untrue, and you find out that it's actually this absolute truth that is not temporary and not relative. So then, if they're a true. Skeptic or true, what would you call this? Relative vod? Is there a name for that? When you say everything's relative and that's your philosophy?
Relativism is
Agnosticism. It's about the mind.
But they have way around it. They try to get around this reflective criticism that we are saying that actually according to their own logic this shouldn't be true as well. Skeptics they talk about this. They have some. They actually say
really
we don't actually say
So then you don't actually, then who said this? So you don't accept this then?
Maybe that one is very annoying. So
it is the Buddhists actually, the origin is coming from the Buddhists.
So this goes back to Buddhists.
Yeah, they are the original guys.
So that means Ionians were how much BC? And now it's But I know I know it's 2,500 years, but is that 2,500 before Christ or 2,500 from now?
Yeah, before Christ.
Before Christ and even before Socrates.
Yeah.
Okay, so they go back to Socrates like 3,000 years ago, like 1,000 BC, no?
He wasn't alive before Buddhism.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this would come up from Buddhism. So if Buddhism comes up, then that becomes the mode's flavor of the millennium, you know, so then they naturally start to think like that.
Yeah. There were some established connections between what they were saying, what the Indians were saying, they know that they were exchanging ideas, and it's always from India, because people were always going to study in India. There were never cases where people from India were going to study outside. This is also established.
You mean no one from India went to see Diogenes?
There were no interest in these guys. They didn't.
Wow. That's
It was considered world class. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Actually, Swatamara from his library, he has a whole book written by a Greek guy, Demetrius somebody, who documented all connections between Greeks, ancient Greeks and India. He was a guy who lived in Kolkata for a long time. He became converted Hindu. So he wrote now.
But he was a Greek guy.
He's a Greek guy who spent his life in India.
Oh.
He documented all these connections. So he spoke, he wrote about actually Brahmins talking to Socrates, making fun of him, it seems they are contemporaries because they are talking personally. So this Brahmana asked Socrates, "What's your philosophy?" And Socrates said, "Well, I try to understand men. That's my interest." And then this Brahmana started laughing and he said, "How can you understand men without knowing God?" So this is the exchange they have. It's a library.
Oh.
It's a nice book.
That's interesting.
Hmm? In English, yeah. Good.
Yeah. I think maybe they can use that for references for the work on Tattva Vivek.
Could be. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, so that was text 16 of Tattva Vivek, no?
And then he comments on it.
Some philosophers express this view. Quote, whatever anyone says to be quote-unquote true is only quote-unquote true temporarily. Therefore, no truth is eternal and absolute. All truth is temporary and relative. What is considered true now will eventually be changed or refuted. At the end, it will be considered untrue. Therefore, the only changing absolute truth is a statement that there is no absolute truth. The only unchanging absolute truth is a statement that there is no absolute truth. So that's how they try to get around it. But at the same time, then that's the fun part, is they say there's no absolute, but they're absolute in their statements. It's like, you know, everybody's equal, no one, you know, everybody, we work together, but my statements are absolute and everybody else has to follow.
So the statement there is no truth implies that there has to be truth because that statement can't be true. There is no truth.
Yeah.
So that can't be true, so that means there has to be truth.
There has to be truth. There has to be an absolute. So then at least there has to be one absolute.
Right. You know, it's just absolutely not what they're saying.
Yeah, it's just absolutely not what they're saying. End quote. Okay, this idea gives birth to a great laughter, like the Brahmins with Socrates. For there is no truth in it at all. Yes. Yeah, their absolute take on the lack of absolute is then proved absolutely to be that what they say is not absolute. Yes. Only some professional philosophers, blinded by illusions and addicted to the tricks of logic, accept this foolish, illogical idea. It's interesting, addicted to the tricks of logic means how they can use logic to defeat others.
Like the word jokers.
Yeah, because that's what we'll see is that doubt is important, because if you doubt, therefore means I think, therefore I am. But what are you thinking about? You're analyzing the doubts, trying to see what's common, what's not common. Like that. So then all that, as we saw, is those end elements of the padarthas, that are just tricks. Those are tricks. And so they're addicted to those tricks, because if you come in and try to deal with them, they'll use those tricks to defeat you. So you can say it's logic, because they're using the tricks of logic, but it's not actually what logic is for.
By using logic, you stay in the main illusion instead of getting free of the illusion.
Yes, yes.
Misuse of logic.
But you do, remove all doubts and become very convinced.
But it's not progressive.
But it's not progressive. Yeah, it's regressive. Degressive.
Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned what is futility, why it even came into being.
Oh, okay. These philosophers accept the idea that truth is relative, that absolute truth cannot be. In the Bengali language, this idea is expressed by the words noi hoi evam hoi noi. It is not this and it is not that. It is not this and it's not that. Okay. From this illogical idea, the philosophy of doubts arises. It's a philosophy of doubts. Oh, so that's what the skepticism is. Skepticism is just doubts. You just doubt everything. But you never doubt your doubt.
Not because you're trying to find the truth, just because you want to exercise your doubt.
Okay. So you're a professional doubtist.
Yeah, a fault finder.
Just thinking of the Tao. This is the doubt. It's following the doubt. Okay. In the English language, this philosophy is called skepticism. Okay, here it is. How do you say this? Hume or Humey?
Hume.
Very
Hume.
Hume. Okay, so it's not a German. So he's not our Humey. Hey, Humey. No. Okay. Hume. And other philosophers preach this idea. Although this skepticism, or the philosophy of doubts, is unnatural and untenable, it has somehow been accepted by many philosophers. The philosophy of material pleasures and the philosophy of cessation of existence, nirvana, brought great harm to their followers. And therefore, the people in general became filled with horror merely to hear the names of these philosophies. So it means then you have cessation of existence, and then you have the doubt. So you have pleasures, and then you have doubt, you have these things, so they just move around, right?
Yes, so I'm trying to say, the paragraphs are not phrased properly. He's trying to say, because the philosophy of material pleasures and the philosophy of nirvana has no, doesn't actually please the soul, then they came up with the skepticism.
human nature is originally pure. It wears the ornament of devotional service to God. By following the philosophies of materialism, human beings do not find happiness. In this way, the philosophy of materialism grabbed logic, shackled his hands and feet with iron bands, and threw it into a dark prison cell. In order to cut its own shackles, logic thus created skepticism, or the philosophy of doubts. The materialist philosophy holds that matter is eternal, and matter is all that exists. Professor Huxley preached this idea, and since then it has come from many other mouths also. These people say, without speaking of material causes and effects, no true description of events can be spoken of. So that's why they have to go back and show how it came to there. Because I know, it's other places, I know it's a very kind of American thing, is that if you know why it happened, you're peaceful. It doesn't solve the problem, either what you do now or how you got there, but just knowing that, it's like, you know, you feel in knowledge, and now you're prepared, you can deal with it. So it's, yeah. No conclusions can be drawn that are not based on material causes and effects. At the end, the words spirit and love will be cast far away from every book. Then the people will gradually become free to be carried away by the waves of materialism. Then the idea of free will be bound and imprisoned, and the truth that all activities are determined by material laws will be proved beyond any doubt. End quote. But what's their...
This is the materialist.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is also like 1984. It's like everything's gone. It's because love, spirit is cast away, no free will, and then the truth all determined by material laws will be proved. Like that. So that's the difference, is that spirit and love is kept in, what's his name? Brave New World. He keeps that, but does the same thing. In other words, he binds you through attachment. Well, the other one is seemingly you're freeing yourself. It's like you're taking materialism, karma, and Buddhism, and throwing away the best part of both, and keeping the worst of both, and making it into a philosophy.
Nothing works, and we don't know why.
Yeah, these guys got problems.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada.